Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Feck Him. Nice Girls, Always Finish, Single is a dating and self-help book aimed primarily at women who feel that being overly accommodating, agreeable, or emotionally available has not improved their romantic outcomes. Written by Brian Kiefem Attracted. The book presents itself as a practical guide to regaining leverage in dating by shifting from approval-seeking behavior to a more self-possessed, high-value stance. Its central premise is not about hostility or sexual content, but about mental detachment from men who do not show sufficient effort or respect. The book belongs to the broader category of relationship advice that blends dating psychology with strategy. Using a provocative title and direct tone to challenge common ideas about niceness, availability, and feminine self-presentation, rather than focusing on communication ideals or mutual vulnerability, it argues that many women lose attraction by trying too hard to please. The book is designed to help readers rethink how they respond to interest, attention, and commitment in modern dating. I will give you key takeaways from this book. The Feck Him mindset as a boundary-setting response to disrespect. The book's signature concept is the Feck Him mindset, which it defines as a mental stance rather than a literal or sexual one. The idea is that a woman should stop rewarding men who behave inconsistently, lazily, or disrespectfully. Instead of over-explaining, chasing, or tolerating poor treatment in hopes that things will improve, she is encouraged to mentally disengage and protect her self-worth. This framing matters because it turns dating advice into a boundary exercise. Attention is treated as something earned, not given automatically. The book assumes that many relationship problems begin when women continue investing after a man has already shown low effort. By recommending emotional withdrawal at the right moment, it tries to replace anxious attachment with self-respect. The practical effect is to shift the woman from reacting to his behavior to evaluating whether he deserves access to her time, attention, and emotional energy. That distinction is one of the book's defining features. Secondly, why the book argues that trying too hard devalues attraction. A major theme in the book is that excessive niceness can become self-defeating in dating. The argument is not that kindness is bad, but that trying to impress a man too early can create an imbalance where he receives more value than he gives. In that dynamic, the woman becomes the pursuer and the man becomes the evaluator, which the book treats as a recipe for diminished attraction. The text repeatedly warns against acting like a fan, a caretaker, or a source of unconditional approval before commitment exists. This is framed as a devaluation trap because eagerness can signal that the woman has placed the man above her own standards. The result, according to the book, is that men may feel less incentive to invest or remain interested. By contrast, restraint, selectiveness, and self-possession are presented as more attractive because they preserve mystery and create effort. The book's reasoning rests on a strategic view of romantic interest, where value is partly shaped by what each person must work to obtain. Thirdly, the high-value woman as the book's model of dating power. The high-value woman is the book's idealized alternative to the nice girl. She is not defined only by looks, social status, or youth, but by her behavioral posture in relationships. She has her own life, does not center her identity on male approval, and does not present herself as easily available to anyone who shows casual interest. The book uses this figure to argue that desirability comes from self-possession and selective access. A high-value woman is not needy because she already has structure, purpose, and commitments outside dating. That independence creates genuine scarcity, which the book sees as more compelling than deliberate games. This distinction is important. The book does not claim she should fake disinterest, but that her availability should reflect a full life. In practical terms, the model pushes readers to invest in boundaries, standards, and personal priorities before trying to manage male attention. The broader implication is that dating success, in the book's view, comes less from pleasing a man and more from positioning oneself as someone worth pursuing. Fourthly, subtle influence and the claim that men should feel in control. One of the more distinctive and controversial ideas in the book is its emphasis on subtle influence. It suggests that women can shape male behavior by guiding him so that he believes decisions are his own, even when the woman is steering the outcome. The book presents this as a form of relational intelligence rather than open confrontation. It assumes that men often resist direct pressure but respond better when they think they are choosing freely. In that sense, the book promotes indirect control through timing, withholding, and strategic response rather than explicit negotiation. This is one reason the text draws criticism. It treats relationship dynamics as power management, not as equal collaboration. Still, within its own framework, the approach is meant to prevent women from being ignored, strung along, or taken for granted. The book argues that maintaining the appearance of male control can actually produce better behavior for men while preserving the woman's leverage. This tension between empowerment and manipulation is central to how the book operates. Lastly, how the book positions itself within modern dating advice. Fuck Him. F sits in the crowded genre of dating advice for women, but it stands out because of its blunt tone and overtly strategic framing. Unlike books that emphasize emotional openness, communication skills, or compatibility, this one leans toward tactical self-protection and attraction management. Its message is shaped for readers who are frustrated by inconsistency, ghosting, or one-sided effort, and want a more confrontational answer to those patterns. The book's language is deliberately provocative, which makes it memorable but also limits its appeal. Some readers will appreciate the directness and the emphasis on self-respect, while others may see the advice as manipulative or overly simplified. That tension is part of its identity. It is less a relationship philosophy than a rule set for changing how a woman responds to male attention. For readers who want a clear, assertive framework for protecting standards in early dating, it offers a distinct perspective. For readers seeking mutual communication-based relationship guidance, it will feel much more adversarial than most books in the genre. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who are dissatisfied with dating patterns built around overgiving, waiting, and trying to earn attention from men who remain inconsistent. Its practical value lies in the way it reframes self-respect as a behavioral strategy. Do not overinvest, do not reward weak effort, and do not confuse emotional availability with relational strength. Readers looking for direct advice about boundaries, attraction dynamics, and the costs of approval seeking may find it useful, especially if they are trying to break patterns of chasing or over-explaining. Intellectually, the book is interesting because it treats dating as a power dynamic and uses the high-value woman concept to organize its advice around leverage, selectivity, and controlled access. Compared with more traditional relationship books, it is sharper, less sentimental, and more explicit about the role of scarcity and perceived value. What makes it stand out is not nuance, but its unapologetic insistence that romantic success often depends on changing the woman's response pattern first. For that reason, it is most relevant as a provocative corrective to passive dating habits rather than as a comprehensive guide to healthy partnership. If you would like to support Brian Keefe from Attracted, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description.